Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness, are you ready? We're ready for a good time tonight. Welcome to this edition of Christian Talk. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Oh, hello. How are you? I want to say hi to my blessed husband and to all our friends
Amen.
And family all over the world and all the different countries and all over the United States. God bless you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
And for listening.
God bless you all.
The Lord be with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. So now, what would I like for you to do? What I always tell you to do. Grab your computers, pick up your phones, go to your inbox or whatever. Text somebody and tell them to dial in right now. We're going to have a serious and very enlightened program tonight. You're going to be blessed. You're going to get a lot of information. And the number to dial in, just tell them to dial in 646-668-8537. Let me repeat that. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila on Facebook or wherever you might see our picture, or just click on the link if you want to listen from your computer, okay? For you can listen to your computer on Facebook tonight and all this week. You can click on there, okay? Or you can go to Solar Records Radio and look for Christian Talk and then click on it, and you can see some of the other programs also. You'll listen to all of them. We are going to have a great time today. Also, what else? Oh, yes. You guys, remember now, you can see us on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life, and you can just go there. And we're on pretty much all of the social media platforms and TV shows, radio, and all of that, okay? But you can see us live on HSBN and on YouTube, hsbn.tv and on YouTube and on Facebook. So, because we do Facebook Live. So you can see us, and it's almost like Christian talk, only you'll be seeing us. You'll look right at us. Okay, so it's a really good program, and we think that you'll be blessed by it. So don't forget to tell your friends and to tune in, okay? All right, now we're inviting you to come and visit us at our church, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, and that's in Upland, California. So be sure to come and talk to us, okay? I mean, well, come and talk to us. Come and visit. I think that you will have a great time, I'm just sure you'll be blessed, okay? Let's just put it that way. You'll be blessed. You'll meet some beautiful people, and you'll be blessed, all right? Okay, so in the meantime, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be right back after this.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love. The best thing I've ever done. Yeah. In his arms, never been rejected. No. In his arms, always feel protected. I worship at your throne. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need your touch right now. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need your touch right now. Here I am. I'm on my knees, I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord, I need you right now. Hey, I need you, Lord, need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord, need you now.
Yes, indeed. And it truly is the best thing that I've ever done, falling in love with Jesus. Okay, Pastor Tosila, hold on. What is this? What's going on here? Do you hear that? Yeah. You know what time it is? It's time for a TNT moment. And we're going to get started with our TNT moment right now, as a matter of fact. Pastor Tosila, so what are we going to do today? What are we talking about?
Well, it was time also for the many voices of Pastor T. I think you did such an excellent job on falling in love with Jesus. It made me fall in love all over again. And I have to say, your intro, with all your different voices doing the bass and the high and all, though, that was good also. Praise the Lord for that. A lot of people ask us, is that take six? No, that's take one, Pastor T and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. We're going to go and continue talking about something that's very exciting to me, and it's about 144,000, because someone had a question about who are they. And so we started in the book of Revelations in chapter 7, and we're going to try to go over that a little bit more because it reads after this, and it's almost like we're just living in these times. We are a witness to a lot of these things that are going on right now. But it reads that I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, and as they were restraining the four winds so that no wind would blow on the land, on the sea, and on any trees. And then I saw another angel ascending from the sea, who had the seal of the living God. He shouted out with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to damage the earth and the sea, saying, do not damage the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have marked the loving servants of our God with a seal on their foreheads. And I believe with all my heart that we are in that time, that we are living right now, where God is separating the sheep, the goats, dividing, marking, sealing, delivering.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, and I discovered the number of those who were sealed. It was 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of Israel. This angel, but see, you know, and it says, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and children according to the promise. So it doesn't mean that you live in geographical, physical Israel. It means that you are part and an heir of Christ Jesus because you belong to the seed of Abraham. I just wanted to make that clear. And then it says, this angel carrying the seal of God speaks of God's grace and mercy triumphing over judgment. Because like we went over, that God would rather have mercy on the people. He's given the people so many chances. He's like, to me, the Lord is like, like, come on, guys, let's get in. You know, it's time. And he's holding back the judgments that a lot of people really deserve because God is merciful. And it says in the word of God in Ezekiel 9:4 says, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of those who are grieving and lament over the detestable things that are being done in the earth. I know that I'm grieved. I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of the stuff that is grieving me. I had a lady call me today and say she don't know if she wants to put her child back in school. because they have an agenda in the Los Angeles school system. I know it started last year in Chicago, where they're going to start teaching the children regarding LGBTQ+. And she doesn't want her child exposed to that mindset that is not of God. That is, I don't know what
right.
that has to do with education, because that's a mindset that is really not of God. And the seal of the lamb's blood on the doorpost, when remembering the Israelites protected them from the death angel, having that seal
yeah.
protected them.
Yeah.
Well, the new covenant
mm-hmm.
seal is the Holy Spirit. It's the mind of Christ. It's not this dark mind
yes.
that they're trying to put on our children and make our conscience dull of what God has already set in motion. And,
mm-hmm.
boy, I tell you, that kind of stuff just really gets me.
yeah.
I got to stop for a second.
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It just gets you that they that people are trying to change your mind from what God has already set and put in motion. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the children. Why are you trying to get in the school system and mess with the kids? Because you know they're vulnerable. Because you know you want to get them before they grow and to understanding. Anyway, Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself? We are God's living letters, not by the ink, but by the Spirit of God writing truth upon our hearts. And the truth is there is our full inheritance of you being made heirs and sons of God. 144,000 is the 12 times 12 times 1,000. This speaks of the completeness and represents God's raising up sons and daughters who carry fully his image and likeness. It is the number of Christ multiplied in his sons and daughters coming in the likeness of his son. These are those who have wrestled with their nature. They didn't just go along with everything that was told to them and anything that they heard. They hashed it over and marked it and held it to the word of God. That's why I said they wrestled and have become princes with God. But just like all 12 tribes were not birthed at the same time, so it is with these. They are birthed from glory to glory, each tribe being sealed by God's marvelous hand. And that's what we're looking at. As we are sealed into the tribe of Judah, we are given our revelation of our sonship in him. Once we have been Judah's lion as in heaven's firstborn son, we move to beholding that son living in us, Christ in you. And Christ is fully being formed in his body. And it's just like it's the great inheritance is you're inheriting Christ. You're inheriting God.
Yeah.
What is your inheritance? A lot of people think they're going to get
God.
A mansion and they're going to get a mansion. They want all this stuff. But I'm telling you, man, for God's mind to be in you and his heart to be in you and his spirit to be in you and that is the greatest inheritance that you can ever get. And especially to be freed from this wicked mindset and this that's
mm-hmm.
on the earth right now. Right, Pastor T? But these are those
yes,
that
absolutely.
Are sealed
mm-hmm.
in their mind and their conscience because they're trying to seal and sear you with their mind and their consciousness. And it is not good. It is fully of the devil. So God
That's
has
true.
His people and his army, his sons and his daughters, and the enemy has, as you can see, those that are operating in the school system, the government, the judicial system, he has his people too. And it is a wrestle.
Yeah.
It is a war. We're fighting
yes.
against these spirits. Amen.
Yeah, amen. And it's important for us to know who is this 144,000 and what part do they play in the end times, and we'll talk about that when we come back. But here's the thing. Number one, we must believe in Jesus Christ the Lord. And this 144,000, they not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're one with him. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus. Move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Promises, I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus, who hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your King
to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is, his kingdom is coming in fullness. not in part. Well, it is a little in part because some of us have experienced kingdom things, but he's coming in fullness, and he's going to establish his government on this earth. Right now we're experiencing the government of Satan, but we are going to experience the government of God. Many people think that the 144,000 spoken of in Scripture are all men. Some say that they're all Jews, but the truth of the matter is that they're all Christians. The 144,000 are believers. They're followers, disciples, and lovers of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you know that, Pastor T? Because as you read the scripture in Revelation 14, chapter 1, it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. A lamb stood. First of all, the lamb is standing. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb of God, but he's standing on Mount Zion, which means he's alive. He said, the scripture says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. What does that mean? God's name written in our foreheads. It means that we are sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, sealed with the mind of God. And you notice that these people are with Jesus on the top of the mountain. That speaks of authority, God's government. We sing a new song. That's us. We're singing a new song, God's government, his true believers. We sing a new song before the Lord. We are those who are not defiled by this Babylonian government or church system. We were redeemed from among men, saved, sanctified. We are virgins because we have been born again, born from above. We have no deceit in our mouths because we speak the pure word of God. We have no fault because we are washed in his blood. Why the number 144,000? What does that mean? The number is 12,000 times 12,000. The number 12 represents multiplication. Jacob had 12 sons, and they multiplied and became the Israel of today. Jesus converted 12 men, and they multiplied and became Christians of today. The number 12 means revival. The 12-year-old girl that Jesus raised from the dead, the girl was a type of the church coming back to life in this hour. The number 12 means restoration. The lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years was restored. This was a type of the restoration and healing that's coming to the church in this hour. The number 12 means leadership. The 12 sons of Jacob were leaders of their families, just as the entire children of Israel had 12 elders, and the apostles were also the 12 leaders of the early church. The number 12 is the number of authority. It represents God's government. The 144,000 is 12,000 times 12,000. They are not only Mount Zion, but they sit at the top of Mount Zion, which is the church. The 144,000 is God's government on the earth. It is God's glorious last day church. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is Mount Zion now, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is the church of just men and women made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is right there in the midst of his church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in his church. That's where he wants to be, in the midst of us. In Revelation chapter 7, the Lord breaks it down, and my wife spoke of that. He really breaks it down and let us know what's going on. In the book of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, I'm not going to go through all of it, but he speaks of the tribes, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from that tribe. Well, then another translation, a revelation of the word tribe is branch, the branches of Israel. Now you have to find the revelation of who the real Israel is. The real Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when you read in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation and they start naming the different tribes or branches, you'll notice that it starts with the tribe of Judah. And why Judah? Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. So why did they start with Judah? It's because Jesus Christ, the new man, the new creation man, came from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise, and he's bringing forth a people that's going to bring his praise upon the earth. Oh, it's so much involved, Pastor Tasila, when you talk about the 144,000. It is so much when you get into the revelation of who these people are. And these people could very well be you. And here's the thing that I like the most. Even if you're not in the number of 144,000, you are going to be the ones that's being blessed by the 144,000. Remember, the Lord picks a remnant, a small group of people, to bless the majority. So irregardless if you're a part of that number, you're going to feel the results of the blessings of that number, of those people coming together, because God is bringing them together for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's just the beginning of multiplication.
It's just the beginning. Yes, it's just the beginning. All right, Pastor Tasila, you know what I'm going to do? Let's go ahead and get to our guest for today. And he's with us today, and my goodness, this man, wait till he get cut loose. I mean, the Holy Spirit has really been dealing with this brother, and he's going to share some things with us tonight. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Myron Tasila, also known as TNT, and our special guest today is Apostle Kiplin Taylor. How are you, my brother?
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor T. Pastor T. Myron, Pastor Tasila, God bless
you.
Evening.
Good to hear you.
Amen. God is good. Amen. He's certainly doing great and mighty things in this season. And I thank God for all that he's doing. I thank God for salvation more than anything else.
You know, and just to tell the people a little bit about you, Apostle, he's the owner and founder at Slap Someone Sauce, LLC. What is that? To slap somebody so good that you got to slap somebody? Is that what that's about?
Yeah, Slap Someone Sauce, LLC, is our line of barbecue sauces, and we have 11 flavors of barbecue sauce and 5 flavors of dry rub, and you can go to our website, which is www.slapsomeonesauce.com, and you can place an order, and we will ship it all across the United States, and we're even working on shipping internationally as well.
Oh, great.
Praise God.
Great. Apostle Taylor, he's the – yeah, right. That's great. And so you should put a – some kind of disclaimer or something on your product to warn people not to smack anybody, you know, once they taste this sauce. Okay. Okay. Apostle Taylor, presiding prelate at God's Army of Churches, Inc. He's the former supervisor of bus transportation at MARTA. He studied Masters of Science Leadership at Belhaven Online Adult and Graduate Programs. studied Bachelor of Science in Management at Belhaven University and studied Theology in International Apostolic University, studied Psychology at Union Institute and University. You know, and it's a, you know, it's a lot more than what I have down here, but it would take all night to tell everything about you. But ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the man of God, Apostle Kipling Taylor. All right?
Yeah.
That's everybody. You can hear it. That's the whole crowd, okay?
Amen. With all of the accolades, amen, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can heal anybody, amen. I am.
There you go.
My strive is to remain humble because the glory belongs to God, amen. And I don't want to at any time take His glory because that would be detrimental to my health and to my salvation. So the glory belongs to God.
Yeah.
I'm but a.
That's right.
I'm but an insignificant person. Trying to make it into heaven. That's all that I am, and I tell everybody that we can never step into the shoes of Jesus and fill His shoes. We can be like Him, but we can't be Him. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, ain't so, nobody like Jesus.
Nobody like Jesus. Amen. So, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord this evening. And I thank you both for having me here to speak this evening. Amen. I'm not sure. Are you ready for me to go forth, or is there some?
We're ready for you to go and do.
Praise the Lord.
Be led by the Spirit. Yes. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Gracious and mighty God of heaven, Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, I praise you right now. I bless your holy name, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for the breath of life. I thank you, Lord God, and how you have orchestrated this day, this time, this hour, Lord God, and how you have brought us to this time, Father God. Lord, I yield now to the power of your Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to take control of my mind and of my lips, giving me clarity of thought and of speech today, this evening, tonight. And so, God, I pray that you use me as your oracle, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord God, let me speak, Lord God, the words of wisdom tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, let's just start off.
Amen.
First, and then just talk about some of the things that are going on in the earth today. We know we have the war between Russia and Ukraine. All of these things should take no one by surprise because it's in the Word of God. But let's just look at some statistics. United States, you know, gun violence is plaguing us right now, but that too is in the Bible. It talked about perilous times. It talked about a time where people would have no more zest for life. In fact, people were willing to kill you before they were willing to speak to you today. But let's just look at some of the major cities. Gun violence is up 25% in Miami, 35% in Chicago, and 40% in New York. And so these are major hubs where certainly in Miami we have a lot of drug trafficking going on. In Chicago we have a lot of gang activity. We also have some stuff happened early on in Chicago from its founding, and that's not, we'll get into that tonight, but if you do your due diligence and study about Chicago, it was created by the Haitians. And so not to just single those people out, but we also know that Haiti is the voodoo capital of the world. So there's some residue there, and I don't want to anger anybody, but that's just the truth, and the reality is some things that we need to look at. New York is a place where it is a cesspool for demon activity and a lot of stuff that has gone on there, denial of God there, it's just a place where there's a lot of wickedness going on. These are not the only cities that things are happening in, but we're seeing this violence and stuff take place across the United States. We just saw back in May, the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and what is the children are being attacked. And I, Pastor Tosila, you said something early on in your dissertation, if you will, about the children. Well, listen, the children are the future of the world. If the Amen. Devil can trap the minds of the children or take the mind of the children, then where lies mm-hmm. the future? They grow up with a people being fearful of everything, not trusting anyone, not believing in anything, because they're seeing stuff happening around them that shouldn't be, and they don't know how to translate that into anything, because they're not seeing or they're receiving the information that they need to be able to translate it. And so now they're growing up and they're fearful of going to school. They're fearful of going to the grocery store. They're fearful of going to a church service. Everywhere, fear. And so we need to understand that in this last hour, the enemy, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever it is that you call him, whatever it is he calls himself, is using fear as a weapon. With the advent of COVID, and the variants that have come out, and it's fine. As soon as we get over one variant, here comes another. Now we're dealing with monkeypox. Creating air of suspicion and division. And let me just share with you, if you didn't know, division is the footprint of Satan. So anytime there's a divide and conquer activity going on, Satan is in the midst.
Mm-hmm.
And fail to receive that or to understand that as a message. And so then we go against one another. There's even a network marketing company out here where they have people going around and recording license plates, and then they'll put that in a database every night just to get paid. Now, what is that doing? Well, that's facilitating whomever is maintaining this database to track your activity. Because if you're in different parts of your city and people are recording your license plate number, they know where you're at all times in the city just because of this network marketing company where people are just trying to make it. And so they're thinking that they're doing a good thing by recording these license plates, but yet and still, they're facilitating you and I being tracked by our movement. And so we need to understand that this last hour, the enemy is pulling out all stops, but the church has its responsibility. We're more interested in having a revival service, a crusade and all of this, but Jesus never ordered us to do any of this. He gave us a responsibility, and it has not changed. And I remind you that that responsibility is found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Mark 16, 15 through 18. Let me just read this in your hearing real quick. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Because the question was asked, what are we supposed to be doing right now? Well, it's what we were always supposed to be doing. But now more than ever, we need to be busy about our Father's business. Matthew 28:19-20, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But see, we have now have controversy over baptism. The churches, the ministries, if you will. First of all, let me just clarify this. There are no churches. Uh-oh. Here we go. What do you mean, preacher? We're all a part of the body of Christ,
the
church.
Mm-hmm.
It's called out. Set aside one, the sanctified one. Mm-hmm. That is the church. Mm-hmm. So if I came or you said, I want to invite you to my church, my question is, I'm going to ask you, where is that? Well, it's over on 2nd Avenue around the corner. No, sir. No, ma'am. No such place. Because, let me just tell you, I'm going to strengthen my points here. Let's just go real quick here to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Let me pull it up real quick here. Acts chapter 7, verses 46 through 48. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. We know this is the temple that Solomon built that was commissioned by, you know, given to King David, commissioned by King David, but his son built it because his hands were full of blood. But this is what it says in verse 48. Mm-hmm. How the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As says the prophet. So let me just share this with you. God never told us to go out and build houses of worship. Mm-mm. Why? Because according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, the people that came before us did not have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. They had to have a meeting place. But in Matthew 24, verse 1, when Jesus told his disciples there, he said that, look at these buildings. All of the stones, all of the of these buildings will be thrown down. The temple was destroyed because God no longer dwells in made with hands. He dwells in us. And then when he was preparing his disciples to go forth based on his Sermon on the Mount and what it means to act like and be a Christian, you see, because he was always speaking forward. He was always speaking prophetically. Though he was dealing with the tribe of Judah and Jerusalem, the southern kingdom in the New Testament, because the northern kingdom, the first 10 tribes, had been spread across the United States, across the world through the African diaspora, and also because of disobedience. That's why you and I are here now in the United States, which is nothing more than the mystery Babylon. We are in bondage all over again because of our disobedience, because we did not listen to God. He continually put us in a bondage where we were in captive. We were in captivity by different people, but we did not listen. So he finally sent us to be here in this place, and we're going to suffer until the end. But let me just get back to what I'm telling you here, is that we have to pattern ourselves after the natural. Now, what does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verses 46 through, I think it's 48, it talks about first the natural and then the spiritual. So that means, what that means is that what we see in the natural is how we pattern ourselves in the spiritual. So the church is a military fighting force, and we practice military doctrine. We don't fight with guns, bullets, bombs, and so forth, but we fight with the Word of God. We fight with praise. We fight with love. We fight with prayer. We fight with fasting. That's how we fight. But nonetheless, we're supposed to fight. This is what he meant when he said, go ye therefore into all the earth. And even when we go back to the very foundation of the church, where is that found? That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, when he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so in verse 27, so Jesus made them in his own image, singular. See, that dispels the Trinitarian doctrine. We could go into that, but that's for another day as well. Then he said in verse 28, he gave them authority to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and key word here, subdue it. Subdue is a military command to occupy. So that means, I heard a gentleman the other day calling a lady a crackpot because she said the church was supposed to be in the government, and that is absolutely the truth. In fact,
amen.
You really want your due diligence and study. The people that came here to start the United States were not Christian. They were called deists, D-I-E-S-T, and they practiced deism. What they believed in, that there was a God, but that God did not interfere in the lives of men. This is one reason why they didn't fear enslaving of people, because They didn't believe that God would do anything to them, but they have the right to do. But they left Europe to, as they said, flee religious persecution. Well, their brand of religion was witchcraft. And again, when we go and look at Revelation chapter 18, where we're called the Mystery Babylon, we understand this was never a Christian nation. In fact, this nation was birthed out of war, always has been, and it always will be. So now that goes right back to when I mentioned it early on, the statistics, the violence. This country was birthed out of violence. It will never be a place of peace, no matter how much we pray, because its foundation is built on war. It's built on wickedness. It's built on witchcraft. It's built on the statue in New York Harbor. The Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with freedom nor liberty. It is an indoctrination, and as you pass by that statue, you're being indoctrinated into a doctrine, a teaching, if you will. And so a lot of people want to come here to the United States, but they really don't know what the United States is. So going back to what I was saying, the marching orders came for this country, came out of the Catholic Church. And even in the Protestant Reformation, as I was sharing with Pastor T. Meyer earlier, you cannot reform what God has established, no matter how you try. In fact, the Bible even talks about that. If anyone comes with another doctrine, another teaching, right? Question.
Mm-hmm.
Do not even believe in what they're talking about. Because the only thing we're supposed to be doing is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that goes Amen. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 21 and 22, not just the New Testament. There is a push right now where people are actually saying we need to throw away the Old Testament. Now, that is nothing more than, again, a military attack. Because what that means is the enemy wants us to throw away our historical value and our historical foundation, and then we won't know which direction to travel because we're not looking backwards at our history. We're not looking backwards at the mm-hmm. foundation. Let me share this with you. Mm-hmm. Ancient Israel is a type and shadow of the church. While those are real people, it was talking forwardly, prophetically about the church. It was called the church in the wilderness. It was the foundation of the body of Christ. As you talked about the 12 tribes, as you talked about what that means, let me just really blow your mind to the 12, or to the 144,000. Well, it is 12,000 times 12,000, but it's 12 times 12, which is geometrically a square. The strongest shape in the universe. It is equal on all sides. Why do you think the holy city has 12 gates? It is square. It measures from California. If you look at it on a map, it measures from the shores of California to Colorado, from Montana all the way down to Texas. That's how big the holy city is. But it's a square.
Mm-hmm.
It's three
right.
Sides and three gates on either side. 12 gates to the city, because it's geometrically a square, the strongest geometrical shape. It's equal on all sides, okay? That's another thing to look at the 144,000. And even what you were saying, all that you were saying is true, but if you look at it down to that, what I just said, that's why it's there. It represents strength. 12 levels to the city. It represents strength, power, authority. And as you said, it is governmental. Because 12 is the number of government, all right? And going back to what the gentleman was arguing about, the lady saying that she was a crackpot, the church was always meant to be in control, in charge. But because of the fall in the garden, we know what happened. That authority was taken away. But even when Jesus was prophesied, Isaiah 9 and 6 said the government would be upon his shoulders. The government would be upon his shoulders. Who stands on the authority of God but the church, right? And so this is why Amen. We're being hard, because we're supposed to be carrying the light of God in the earth. But mm-hmm. let me just share this with you,
mm-hmm.
because it says, go back to what it says in in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now here's the key to who these people are. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's the church.
Damn.
That is the church.
Yeah.
Why? Don't
because of the little sneaky secret is unbelief. That's why they
yes.
don't have the power of God, because they truly don't believe that God exists and that he's real.
Here's the thing.
It's an unbelief. Mm-hmm.
Read from verse 1, but really you'll find it in verse 10. Oh, he puts forth a question. He said that there was some arguments going on because of different houses. Those are denominations. Denominationalism was never of God. That is a
right.
fragmentation that Satan dropped in the middle of the body of Christ to create division. I said earlier that division is the footprint of Satan. And then through the spirit of religion, we're being divided as well. So this is what you're seeing. Now, going back to 2 Timothy 3, every one of these things that was mentioned of how the people would be already exist in the world because the world is wicked. So this is nothing new to the world. This is new to the church. Even when we look at the fruit of the Spirit,
right.
those are the things that are being done, the works of the flesh, in the church of God today. And all of it is because mm-hmm. of the doctrine of men rather than the doctrine of God. There is only one doctrine, and doctrine means teaching. And that is that
Amen.
Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, him crucified and resurrected on the third day, is the key to salvation. Nothing else will work. There's no other way. If you cannot come through the sheep gate, you are called a hireling. You are called an imposter. You're a liar. You are of your father, the devil, if you think. Now, I will say this to the Oprahs of the world who say that there are many ways to get to God. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And while this person is influential, she is deceiving a great many. But again, it said that in the Bible, that there will be many that will come and deceive a great number. Let's just look real quick, if you will. I don't know how much time I have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're good. You have a lot of time.
You're doing good. Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 24. Let's get it. Look at verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him or to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was the destruction of the temple. We know that happened in AD 70 when Nero burned Jerusalem.
Right.
And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You see, the only way that you can be deceived is that you have itching ears, that you are entertaining other thoughts, other philosophies, other ideologies. That's the only way you can be deceived. You are not mm-hmm. settled in your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the white man's religion. Oh, this and that and the other, and the six and the nine and whatever. Because we're listening to foolishness because we fail to study for ourselves. Each one of us are responsible to make sure we're studying the Word of God for ourselves.
Amen.
Because at any moment, you you can be used by the Holy Spirit to tell somebody something, to give them a message. He says that in 2 Corinthians 3, to be instant in season, out of season, always ready with a word. That means that you have to have the word in our belly. We have to have it in our mouth. We have to be ready. We have to listen. This is what he talked about in James. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Because while you're listening to the situation, the Holy Ghost is ministering to you to tell you how to minister to them, if you're listening. So this is why we cannot and we should not allow ourselves to be deceived. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, COVID, monkeypox, and any other diseases they can come up with. These are the plagues of this time because the earth is going through what's called its birthing pains. These are the beginning of the birthing pains. And for those of you that are women, know that you go in and what happens when you go into labor and how it hurts. And sometimes labor can last a long time. I don't know much about that because I never had a baby, but I've heard of it. I'm not even a parent, so I never even have my own children. So I was never there to watch my wife birth children. I just know based on what I've studied, but I know that that happens, right? All right.
Exactly.
For all these things, but the end is not yet. Again, for nation shall not rise against nation. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And we see that. Now, let me just put a pin right there. Earthquakes in diverse places. Let me share something with you. January 2011, when the earthquake hit Japan, and it caused a tsunami. It also caused a problem with the nuclear plants there. But it also shook the earth. I think that it was 9.5 on the Richter scale. Very violent. But it shook the earth so hard, it tilted 10 degrees on its axis. Now, why is that important? Because the earth tilting 10 degrees on its axis sped up time. And God said that in Matthew 24, he says that if time had not been sped up, more flesh would perish. Now, what does that mean? Let me give you a visual picture. If you throw a rock in a body of water, the time that it takes the rock to travel from the surface to the bottom is measured in those concentric rings that you see getting larger and larger as the rock sinks deeper. But what has happened now, those concentric circles of time, where normally there would be a gap in those circles, has been pushed tighter. They're closer now. So we still live in a 24-hour clock, but the days have been sped up. Before you blink, here it is Thursday or Wednesday night, and before you blink, it'll be next Wednesday. And people are not really, time has been sped up. Jesus is soon to return.
Because the day is evil.
Yes. What should we be doing? We should be doing what he told us to do in the first place, spreading the gospel. And nothing is going to happen. History is not going to take place until the gospel is preached to every man on this earth. Let me dispel another rumor. Oh, the church is going to be raptured out before any destruction comes. The church is going to be raptured out before the tribulation period. Where does it say that at? And I'm telling you
we're still here.
I'm telling you because I think one of those people would argue you down pre-trib, post-trib, and all that foolishness. There is no pre-trib nothing. We're going through the tribulation, baby. We're going to have to suffer. He said that. He says after the tribulation, comes the sign of the return of Jesus Christ. We're going through. He suffered. We have to suffer. In fact, let me just break this down to you now. Exodus chapter 12 establishes the Passover. And he said in Exodus 12, again, remember, ancient Israel, type and shadow of the church. So every institution, every bastion, every pillar of everything that was practiced with ancient Israel is supposed to be going on today. But we have allowed ourselves to be moved from that. Even the seven feast days, they all point to Jesus Christ, all of them. And then, if you really want to study this, Isaiah chapter 1. I'm just loaded with this stuff. It just, you know, God has been pouring into me. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, God talks about us and our practices of our holidays, but they're called feast days. And in verse, I think it's verse 13 or 14, he says, my soul hateth your feast days. That's a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we practice, but those holidays were put on the calendar by the Catholic Church. Again, going back to the history of the United States, going back to the people that came here from Europe and why they came here and why we ended up where we're at. But with all of that, we have to still press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Right? So then, okay, let's get back to Matthew 24, verse 8. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. I just talked about that. That's the birthing pains. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Did I just say that? Talk about the division, where we're being divided and conquered, right, and we're being to question one another, looking sideways at one another. And how do they do it? Because they're using fear. When COVID hit, you're not sick. Oh, you are sick. You're asymptomatic. You don't know you're sick, but you're sick. So now people are looking at you going, you got the itch. I don't want you around me. Wait a minute. We were just talking Friday before they mentioned COVID. Now all of a sudden I'm sick. Now all of a sudden I'm contaminated. You can't talk to me. You don't want me at your house because I've got it, because they said I got it. So we're letting people move us. We're letting people move us through fear, or the government, should I say, move us through fear. But the government, watch this now, is not the government of God. As I said to you earlier, the church was to be the government, but the church failed. So who is the government right now? The government belongs to Satan. Daniel chapter 2 talks about that, and the statue or the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and how it was five dynasties. The first of gold, then of silver, then of bronze, then of iron, and then the final dynasty of iron and clay. Now, why is that significant? Because that's our time. If you look at the first four dynasties, you never saw clay interacting at all. That meant that the people were oppressed. They did not have a voice. They were not allowed to practice anything. They were simply told to submit, and they submitted. But now we have an uprising of clay and iron, and the clay is mankind. And so remember, and why do I get the clay? Well, the clay is, remember what he talked about when he told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and see the potter working the work on the wheel, the clay, that he was reshaping them. Well, the clay represents mankind. And now mankind is pushing against the government. That's the Roman style of government. Everything about our government is fashioned after the Roman government. But I want to put a caveat in that. The majority of the people in our government are Masons, Eastern Stars, Elks, Shriners, or some. They belong to one of the secret societies. You know, the presidents belong to
Jesuit priests.
Yes, but then the Catholic Church is also a part of the Masonic Order. In fact, the money arm of the Catholic Church, Cosa Nostra, or the Italian Mafia, the Mafia, right, which are Masons. And it was the French Masons who gave us the Statue of Liberty. Come on now. We got to start looking, open our eyes. In fact, the Vatican City and the obelisk in the Vatican City, the obelisk in the Vatican City, is a phallic symbol. That's the key symbol of the Masonic Order, the phallic symbol, which goes back to Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've been so indoctrinated into religion that we don't even know God. We just know religion. But if we start studying, that means we got to get outside. We got to sometimes think outside the box. There's nothing wrong with thinking outside the box, because it's in this little box that we've been put in, we've been controlled. We don't know anything. And we simply go around this circle, and we're chasing like a dog chasing his tail. But we have to study. In fact, God said that, as Paul was telling Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It is in our time of study. That means not just studying the word of God. We want to study historical value, historical facts, historical value. All of that plays a part in our study. We need to know the times and the seasons of things and why these things are happening. All of it is pertinent to our study with the word of God. We need to know why places are where they're at. And I know most people don't even open up the back of their Bibles to look at the maps. We need to know the cities and the names that have been changed and why they're changed. Let me just blow your mind. Now watch this. So if you go to Revelation and you read about the seven churches of Asia Minor, those churches, six of those seven churches is in Turkey. But Turkey was never mentioned because Turkey did not exist then. And the church of Laodicea is in Syria, Lactica, Syria. So now you want to know why there's so much problems happening in Syria. And then Damascus, ancient cities. Because these things need be. The epicenter of the Holy Spirit coming into the earth is in one of the seven churches. So again, if we don't study for content, we need to come away from Mary had a little lamb and his fleece was white as snow. That's pertinent because we need to know that Jesus was the Lamb of God. But we need to get away from the milk Sunday school lessons and get into the meat of the word. The deep calls into the deep. If we don't go deep, we'll miss him. He's not on the surface. He's not in the shallow place. He's in the deep places. And we have to study. We have to get deep to find God, the hidden mysteries of God. It's in the deep places. So again, what's going on now? What should we be doing? We should be doing what Jesus told the disciples to do, which was prophetically as the church responsibility. Go ye therefore into all the world. Now watch this. The same thing is found in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. This is what it says there. And actually it was 15 through 18, but I'm going to read 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now watch this. Why is that key? Because he doesn't mention the Baptist church, the Church of God in Christ, the Apostolic church, the Lutheran church, Presbyterian church. He doesn't mention any of that because there were no such things. Believers, we were first called the people of the way of Jesus Christ. Then we became the people of the way. Then we were, well, first of all, we were Jews, okay? Then we became the people of the way, the people of the way of Jesus Christ. And then at Antioch, we became Christians because the final leader of the tribe is Christ. That's why we're now called Christians. As the leaders changed, the people's name changed, but it was the same people. From Abraham to Christ, as the names changed, the people were referred to, they were changed because of the leaders of the tribe. That's a study. If you want to run reference, you can call me and I can show you in the Bible how and where the people were changed and why. Their location and names have changed, but it was the same people. In fact, watch this. Again, I just have so much information. Sometimes I have to try and wrangle it in. Well, I'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let me just get to Mark 16. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What does that mean? First of all, God gave us authority. Acts 1 and 8. When the Holy Ghost has come, you shall receive power. What is that power for? That power is the same power that he gave his disciples in Matthew 10, chapter 1, or Matthew chapter 10, excuse me, verse 1 through, or actually the whole 10th chapter of Matthew and the 9th chapter of Luke. You find the same story. And he said he gave them power over every unclean spirit, sickness, and disease. But in our time, what do? With sickness and disease, we run to the doctors. We're taking pills. Nowhere will you ever find in the Bible, and if you find it, I'll hang up my crown, I'll take off my title, I'll go away, and I'll be quiet. If you can show me anywhere where Jesus directed anybody to a doctor, because he says right here that we have the power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why? Because we're joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because God made us in his image and likeness. His image is mind, body, and soul. His likeness is we do what he did. We are to be as our Father. Everything he did. In fact, he said, greater works shall you do. Not greater in authority or power, but greater in number. But we have the right to do what he did, because that mantle, just as the mantle was passed from Elijah to Elisha, the mantle was passed from Jesus to the church. We have that right. We have that authority to cast out devils. We have that right to cast out sickness and disease. We have that right. But there's been some lexicon interference. We're finding people binding disease. Nowhere does Jesus ever bind the devil. In fact, he told Peter, upon this rock I shall establish my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail, meaning that the gates of hell are open. He said, leave them alone, Matthew 13. And then at the end, he would cause the reapers to gather them up. They're free. They're able to roam free. But the church has authority over them, casting them out, not binding. See, binding in the language that you see in the Bible means agreement. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Binding is an arbitrary contract. If you and I come to a covenant agreement, if you and I, in fact, let me just say, if I said to the both of you, Pastor TNT, I'm going to come by tomorrow and cut your grass. You say, okay, what time? Well, I'll be there about 11 o'clock. Okay, guess what? I'll bound together for tomorrow at 11 o'clock so I can come by and cut your grass. That's what binding means. We have entered into agreement. Not wrapping up, not tying up. But that's for another study, for another book. But again, we have to get into this word, and we have to study. We have to break it apart. We have to break it down to the minutest and then put it back together. We have to rightly divide this truth so that we know morsel by morsel by morsel. That means bit by bit, but we have to eat the whole roll. Again.
Amen. You are so correct about that. I just wanted to interject this one thing because this is my favorite scripture, and you're on that about us having authority. And this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, when Jesus says, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. And then he goes on but to tell them that, however, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. And I love that scripture. And that is something that is lost, I feel, also, because people do not want to admit that they're not operating in that authority, because the authority really is in Jesus, his power, his name. When we understand who he is, that's how we operate in authority, once we realize who Jesus is. But first, we got to get acquainted with him. We have to have a personal relationship with him, not just a, you know, a passing, I need relationship. Everybody has to have a type of relationship where you're understanding who he is, the greatest power over all powers and principalities, and what his name stands for. So once you understand all that, then you can operate in this authority over these demonic forces. And they have nothing over you because Jesus already gave us the authority to do it. But we got to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And just like we understand that we're not righteous on our own, that is through that blood that we've all been made righteous. So we get to that. You got to get to also that it's the power and the authority that who Jesus is that we're coming and to battle with these different principalities, not ourselves, but under him. Like it says that even the angels didn't even give a railing accusation to Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you, because he raised up God and not himself. And sometimes I hear Christians ignorantly saying, devil, you under my feet, and devil, I'm going to stomp on you. And the devil be like, yeah, get out of here. Because you don't know your authority. You think it's you. You think you have the power. You think you have every. It's Jesus. And when we submit to that authority in Christ that he has given us, then we can operate. He's our righteousness. He's our everything. But we got to line all that up.
Right. You know, there. I don't know if you've ever seen that flag. There's a flag for the United States, and it's a serpent on the flag. And the words on the top of it says, don't tread on me. And that's in direct conflict or direct, what's the word I'm looking for, with what we've been given the authority to do. And that is to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That means that we have the right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But so that's the opposite.
All this stuff we're dealing with is based on what we were taught from little children, how we were indoctrinated as little children. And so, again, this is key because you made mention of that early on, and when you were teaching, you were talking about children. Because, see, the mind of the child is so porous and available and mm-hmm. open to receive. You're a sponge mm-hmm. trying to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this enemy children, why your friend says she doesn't want her child to go back to school because of what's being taught in the school and mandated.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the church. See, I'm writing a new book now. It's called. I ain't gonna put the title out there because somebody will run and take it, but it deals with the authority given to us in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And so, and what the marriage covenant was supposed to produce, right? Not just in the husband and wives and the family and you children, raise your children and they go off and do what they do, but what that really meant in terms of building an army. And so from the moment we take our first breath on this side of glory until the day that we close our eyes, we're under attack. And so it's key. It is key and it is fundamental that as the church of God, we must employ everything that God has given. But we must first come to the understanding of it. And we have to retool our faith because we believe that we have the power to legislate the devil, and the devil's laughing at it. You cannot legislate a spirit, a demon. and any laws that we create. You know, they're talking about all these laws that they're trying to create now because of the gun violence. Well, first of all, if you go back to your knees, you won't have to legislate. But because people have denied God, because this nation was never a God, never a Christian nation, they don't know to go to their knees, because the church was supposed to be in the model to show them how to go to their knees to get what they need from God. He has already promised it. Philippians 4:19, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if you're fully delighted in God, that means you're satisfied, that means you're complete in God, he'll even give you the desires of your heart. So we have everything that we need, everything that we want at our fingertips if we'll just humble ourselves. That's what he said in Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. If my people, and the land is not talking about the land you walk on, but the land you live in. That's what he's talking about.
Exactly.
So that's where we need to be. And what we need to do is be busy about our Father's business. If we want to see some things coming under control, it's because we're going back to our knees. Because in Matthew 24:12 says, the heart of man is waxed, that iniquity may abound, the heart of man is waxed cold. People are moving away from God into darkness. Isaiah 60:2, darkness come upon the earth, gross darkness to people. But it also says, if you read the further of that verse, it talks about the light of the church shine upon us. So we have authority over darkness. We just got to come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
We got together as on the one accord, one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, above us all, in us all, through us all. Amen? That's what it's about.
Amen. And I just wanted to say this back to the children again, that once I saw on one of the programs, it might have been TBN, it was way in the 80s, and I saw a lady who was a witch that switched, and she made a comment, and from then on, every time I see children, young or in growing up, I always pray for them and claim them for the kingdom. Because she said that was their M.O., is to make sure they got them before 4 years old. And that is something people don't want to baptize their kids. They don't want to talk to them about Jesus. And they don't want to train them before that. But kids are intelligent. And they need to start claiming these kids when you see them on the bus, for school, for anything, in the stores. Claim those kids and pray over them for Jesus. And snatch them back. Put a Holy Ghost hedge around them, because the devil is not playing about trying to take these kids in their minds and steal the consciousness. They want to put the dark, demonic conscience that two men can have a baby and two women can get married. They want all that trash inside of our children so they can make a demonic society. But God is telling us to snatch them back and claim them for the kingdom of God. We so enjoyed you, Pastor Kipling. You are so true. You're so full. And we really would love for you to come back. And we can just go on and on to the break of dawn. God bless you for coming.
And thank you so much for being on the program tonight. It's terrible. We're running out of time, but you've been a blessing to many. You've been a blessing to my wife and myself. And just keep on, keep up the good work in the spirit for the Lord, because it's being recorded in heaven. And you are making a difference. So continue on.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you.